Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name is Thomas, and thank you for tuning in. I'm excited to give a warm welcome to Elizabeth Grace, who is a new narrator here on Get Sleepy. I think you're going to love her voice, and she's really happy to be reading tonight's story for all of you wonderful listeners. And tonight, we have a retelling from Greek mythology about Persephone and Hades, two very different children who become the best of friends. Before we get started, I want to mention that tomorrow night on Get Sleepy Premium, Abby will be guiding us through a supremely relaxing meditation. It's designed to help with the most common thing that can keep us from a good night's rest, a running mind. So be sure to sign up for Get Sleepy Premium so you can hear tomorrow's soothing meditation and every other exclusive episode. As well as that, you'll have access to our entire back catalogue, and everything is ad-free. Sign up at getsleepy.com/support, or just follow the link in the show notes. Now, there seems to be more research and conversation around sleep right now than ever before, which I think is great. The common theme that we seem to be hearing is just how powerful sleep can be for enhancing every single facet of our lives. So I'm glad you've chosen to listen tonight, so that you can feel the benefit of a good night's sleep. But I'm not a doctor, a scientist, or an expert, so I won't delve into the details too much. And in fact, from my own experience, hearing lots of information about sleep doesn't always help to settle the mind. But what I can do is try to be a source of comfort as you settle down. So let me simply say this. If you are struggling with sleep, for whatever reason it may be, you are not alone. And I'm confident you're in the right place to help things get better. You'll be just as aware as I am about how it can make life feel like a struggle from day to day if you're not getting as much sleep as you think you need. But just remind yourself that everything is okay, right here and right now. Tomorrow will come, and you will live it. Tonight's story, just like every other on Get Sleepy, can be a comforting pillow for your mind. All you need to do is listen and relax. The part where you fall asleep isn't something you need to control. That will take care of itself. So relinquish control and just take a nice, deep breath. And as you exhale slowly, feel your body sinking deeper into the bed. And repeat that long, calming breath in and out one more time. Your mind and body are both already in a state of rest. The support of your mattress and pillow is giving your muscles a chance to recharge. And the darkness behind your eyelids provides a stillness for your mind and your senses. So just go with it as we turn to our story for this evening. It begins in a peaceful meadow where we find a special child. One day, she'll be a Greek goddess. For now, though, she's just a girl with a love for nature. But all of that is about to change.
One fall day, a girl named Persephone went for a walk in the fields near her home. She was a lively child, always off exploring some new meadow or forest, or playing happily in a cool stream. On this particular day, she decided to visit her favorite pomegranate tree. It had a spindly little trunk covered in thick brown bark and skinny little branches sticking out on all sides. More than once, the tree caught Persephone's clothing when she reached in to pick a pomegranate. But she never grew frustrated when she got tangled up, as that was just the nature of trees. Instead, she pulled her dress free and continued her quest for the sumptuous fruit. Persephone loved the taste of pomegranate. In fact, she loved the taste of all fruit. She supposed that it might be because her mother was Demeter, goddess of the harvest. Persephone knew how it sounded when she told the other children her mother was a goddess. But to her, it wasn't strange. The immortal life, complete with lightning bolts and ambrosia, was just another day for her. As goddess of the harvest, Demeter was the one who watched over all that grew. She kept many kinds of trees, along with tall, willowy grains and plenty of vines, which snaked across the ground. Persephone loved this verdant life. Orchards and fields were as normal to the girl as the hands on a clock. But along with abundance, she also knew scarcity. All things that grow must stop growing. All things that flower must also close and sleep, so they may bud anew. She understood that in order to thrive, her mother's plants sprouted from seedlings and grew tall and strong as the months progressed. Then they bore fruit and flowers, and finally settled down for a long rest before starting anew the next year. They couldn't be open and green all the time. Most plants lost their leaves and tucked up for winter. But Persephone had also seen those curious ones, which thrived in the colder months when all other things turned brown. They were few and far between, but she loved them all the more for it. Her pomegranate tree was one. It was the hardiest of winter fruit, bringing sweetness to the darkest season. This tree, and others like it, were akin to rubies in a field of straw. They blossomed where others would naturally wilt. She respected these special winter plants and wished very much to be as adaptable in her own life. Persephone thought about them as she made her way across the field. There, just ahead, on top of a small hill, was the pomegranate tree. It wasn't the biggest tree she kept, nor was it the most impressive to look at, but for Persephone, it was special. It was the very first tree her mother had given her to look after. When Demeter had first shown her the tree, Persephone was even smaller than she was now. Back then, it seemed to tower over her head. Week after week, she'd sit beneath its branches, giving it water and telling it stories about all the other plants in her mother's garden. One afternoon, she came to check on it, as she always did, and noticed the first little fruit. It was so tiny, she remembered, much smaller than the palm of her hand. It was as hard as a pebble, with smooth, shiny skin. She cradled the little bud of a fruit in her fingers and was careful not to twist it off its stem. Every morning she would visit the tree and note the little fruit's progress. Every evening, she would look in once again to see if it had gotten any bigger. Day by day, the pomegranate grew. Its top and bottom started to unfurl. Its skin turned a mottled, reddish purple until it was finally ripe enough to pick. She knew it was ready when she tapped it with her finger, and it dropped softly into her hand. It had a good weight, like a heavy orange, and felt dense and sturdy, almost like a melon with leathery skin. Unlike many other fruits, the pomegranate wasn't sweet to smell. It had more of a plant-like scent, reminiscent of the leaves and bark of the tree it grew on. It was earthy and full. She knew that if she'd left it on the tree, over time the skin would have grown thick and hard. To Persephone, it seemed that pomegranates grew even more resilient the older they got. which was something she respected about them. She held the ripe pomegranate up to the light to inspect it more closely. To her, the top looked like a curling pink scroll with a little brown tuft in the middle. The skin had thin striations of gold, which shimmered delicately in the sunlight. As she studied the curious fruit, she was surprised by a noise on the other side of the tree. She dropped the pomegranate, and it rolled end over end away from her. Persephone kneeled down to see where it had gone. As she peered under the lowest branches, she found herself face to face with a strange boy wearing a long cloak. He had picked up the missing fruit and was holding it out to her. "Why, thank you," Persephone said, reaching for it. She told the boy he had startled her. She wasn't used to finding anyone else out here in her mother's fields. The boy said nothing. How strange, Persephone thought. Perhaps he wasn't fond of talking. She didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable, so she decided not to ask him questions. Instead, she would tell him all about her tree. He stood up and came around to join her. He watched dutifully as she explained how long she'd been waiting for the fruit to ripen. She pointed out all the leaves and flowers. She put her hand out and touched the scratchy bark and motioned for him to do the same. He hesitated and then reached out a long, thin hand. When his fingers brushed the bark, a line of grey spilled down the trunk. It dove beneath the surface to the roots and spread out along the delicate branches. The grey seeped into the leaves and stems, making them wilt and fall. It curled along the tops of budding fruits and made them wither and harden. But as much as his side of the tree grew thin, Persephone's blossomed. The leaves grew thick and full. Fruit sprouted from every branch. Big, juicy pomegranates hung heavy on their stems. Branches exploded in a flurry of red, green, and gold. Persephone gasped, watching the tree transform before her eyes. The boy jumped back, his eyes wide. What had once been a perfectly ordinary pomegranate tree was now a tree of two faces. One side bloomed with the passion of an endless spring. The other folded in on itself, as though preparing for winter, bare and and brown.
I'm sorry, the boy said.
He pulled up the hood of his cloak and ran down the back of the hill. Persephone chased after him, but by the time she reached the edge, the boy was nowhere to be seen. He had vanished. She wondered where he could have gone. Her mother's fields extended as far as the eye could see, and he wasn't in them. She wanted to tell the boy that everything would be all right. It wasn't his fault her plant had reacted so strangely to his touch. He surely hadn't meant for it to do that, or he wouldn't have run away. With a sigh, she turned and walked back to her pomegranate tree to take a closer look at what had changed. Circling around the trunk, it appeared to be two trees merged into one. Half was brown and grey, with barren branches and hard lumps of fruit. The other was rich and green, with crimson pomegranates, so juicy she could taste them on the breeze. It was a tree held in stasis between growth and withering. Budding blooms and falling leaves. It was trapped in a dance of seasons. She marveled at its change, and then looked down at the little pomegranate she still held in her hand. Its skin now radiated a brilliant gold. It seemed to glow with an inner light that wasn't affected by the sun or the wisps of clouds that meandered across the sky. It had the look of something touched by the gods, Persephone thought. But what did that mean for her new friend? Could the boy be something more than he seemed? She pondered these questions as she made her way back down the hill towards her home. Persephone and Demeter lived in a humble cottage at the edge of a wheat field. The house was encircled on all sides by a tangle of vines, heavy with gourds, tomatoes, berries, and flowers. Persephone knew the path through the jumble of plants and hopped over tendrils and roots in a pattern her feet found instinctively. When she reached the door, she slipped the little fruit into the pocket of her dress. It would be safe there until she figured out what to do with it. She went inside and found her mother laying the table for supper. Meals in their house were always touched by a hint of wonder. Persephone never saw her mother cook, and yet, night after night, beautiful meals appeared on the table. Mother and daughter sat together
and enjoyed savory and sweet dishes made from the many foods which grew around their home. As they were finishing the last few bites, Persephone pulled the golden pomegranate from her dress and placed it gently on the table. "What is this?" Demeter asked, picking up the glowing fruit. Persephone explained what had happened at the tree earlier in the day. She told her mother about the strange boy and how the tree changed when he brushed his fingertips against it. Her mother inspected the fruit and then set it down carefully in front of her daughter. "Mysterious things happen when two people are fated to meet," she told Persephone. "Sometimes the sky will erupt in showers in the middle of summer. Other times, a flower will grow in the depths of winter." And so, she told Persephone, a changed tree and a golden pomegranate were nothing to worry about. They would guide the girl's path forward into new adventures, but it would be up to Persephone what she chose to do with them. She gave her daughter a hug and ruffled her hair lightly. Then she sent her off to bed. The next morning, Persephone rose early. She wanted to head out to the pomegranate tree to see if the boy might visit again. She ran out of the house, across the fields, and up the hill. She waited there all morning and into the early afternoon, but the boy didn't come. As evening fell, she went back home for supper and a good night's sleep. She was back again the following day, and the day after that. All week, she visited the tree in the hopes of catching a glimpse of the mysterious boy. But he didn't come. Persephone returned to the tree week after week, watching for him as the rain turned to snow and flurries of white dusted the landscape. She waited for him as the streams and ponds froze over, and the animals went into their burrows. She took long walks over the hills and through the valleys as delicate icicles formed on tree branches above. And she always came back to check the pomegranate tree before heading home each night. Throughout the change in seasons, the tree stood as if suspended in time. Half bloomed, the other half slept, with falling leaves and budding fruit on either side of the thin trunk. Through the darkest days of winter, Persephone waited to see the boy again, but he was nowhere to be found. She wondered about him, who he was, and what had happened to him. But she took comfort in the tree, which seemed to grow stronger with every passing day. And then, one morning, the sun peeked out behind the grey and heavy clouds. A single drop of crystalline water fell from the tip of the largest icicle and landed on Persephone's hand. Spring returned to the land. Although the weather was growing warmer and the sun was out more often, Persephone was losing hope that she'd see the boy again. One day, she arrived a little later in the morning and sat on the hill, idly rolling the golden fruit back and forth between her hands. She heard the birds beginning to call their songs in the distance. Thawed streams burbled down crevices in the hill. She rolled the little fruit left and rolled it right, back and forth across the ground it went for minutes on end. She lost track of time as she played her solitary game. The pomegranate had just left one of her hands and was rolling steadily toward the other when it was intercepted by a small pebble. The fruit came to a stop. Persephone looked up and found herself once again face to face with the mysterious boy. "Hello," he said to her with a shy smile. She waved and rolled the pomegranate toward him. He picked it up and looked at it closely before rolling it back. After a few passes between them, he stopped and looked at her. "I'm Hades," he said. "Nice to meet you," said Persephone, introducing herself in return. Before long, the two were talking like old friends. Hades, she learned, was the god of the underworld. He was still quite young, and yet to fully come into his role. She told him she was the daughter of Demeter, goddess of the harvest. He looked around him appreciatively, taking in all the fields of grain below them. Unlike the other children, Hades didn't seem surprised when she told him her mother was a goddess. There was no strange look and no peppering of questions. He just nodded, looked around, and then returned to the game. He was surprised by her response to him, in fact. Hades didn't speak to many other children. He usually kept to himself, often in the shadows, and watched the others play at a distance. He found himself drawn to this friendly girl, who was so at home in this world of life. She seemed to radiate light, and everywhere she went, the air around her seemed a little bit brighter. They were so different, and yet so similar in their own ways. And so, the pair spent much of the spring together, sharing stories by the pomegranate tree. But there was still one question lingering in her mind. Why he had taken so long to return? He nodded, looking back toward the bottom of the hill.
"It's because I had to go home," he said.
"Winter is the season when the god of the underworld must sit on his throne. It is the time when the cycle turns back on itself, when the sky becomes grey and the plants go to rest." Persephone understood. In spring and summer, Demeter too had to remain with the harvest. She could not journey far away, as it was her job to watch over all the growing things. So was the way of gods and goddesses. They each watched over their own land as the seasons turned. But what about Persephone? She was not bound to any time of year. She could come and go as she pleased, wandering through the orchards heavy with fruit, and then follow the turns of a frozen river with a bright winter moon high above. Throughout the summer, Hades came to visit her whenever he could. At the end of each day, they parted ways at the pomegranate tree. And as always, they agreed to meet once again as soon as they could. The pomegranate tree stood as it was, suspended in time, half in winter, half in summer, with ripe fruit and fallen leaves. As the days grew shorter and the breeze went from balmy to crisp, Persephone knew the day would soon come when her friend would return to the underworld for the winter. One morning, she walked up to the hill to the pomegranate tree and found Hades waiting for her there. He was going home. She nodded and pulled the golden pomegranate from the pocket of her dress. She held it out to Hades and told him to grasp one half of the leathery fruit. She held tight to the other, and then, together, they pulled with all their might. The fruit split in two along a perfect line down the middle. Both halves were smooth and emanated the same warm glow. The two friends held their halves of the magical fruit. Persephone tucked hers away in her pocket, and Hades placed his inside his robe. Now, they would always carry with them a reminder of their friendship, even when they had to be apart. With a wave, Hades turned and made his way down the hill to return to the underworld until the snow melted once again.
Years passed in such a way. Every summer, Hades returned to the surface to walk through the fields and valleys with Persephone. Every winter, she waved goodbye atop the hill, with the pomegranate tree standing strong behind her. It was always a moment of reflection for Persephone. Hades was so different from her, yet similar in other ways. He had a land to oversee. But what was hers? She wondered. She remembered her mother's words. A world of adventures lay before her, and she had to find her own path. She was not a goddess of the harvest, nor was she a god of the underworld. She could move as she pleased and bring her radiance to all corners of the world above and the world below, untethered and free. And so, that was how Persephone found her way to the underworld for the very first time. Like the trees she had always admired, Persephone learned that she too was special. She could bloom where others could not. And sometimes, she realized, things that seemed different were really just at opposite points of the same cycle, working in harmony as the seasons changed. From that day on, both friends would travel above and below. When they were together, they laughed and talked as they had when they were young. And when they were apart, they were reminded of their friendship by the weight of the golden fruit in their pockets. The little tree on the hill seemed out of place, but in reality, it was in perfect balance. Because it always bloomed, there was always fruit. And because it always dropped its leaves, it never had to wilt completely. Like the timeless pomegranate tree, Persephone and Hades understood that the strongest friendships were the ones that grew together. Well, that's all for our story tonight. Good night, and sweet dreams.